I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Football. Energy drinks. Beer. More football. Welcome to Bink at Night.
Pop open this. Energy drink, my coffee for the day. Jay Binkley with Chris Unocero. Need some energy before I mock. And some of this I gave away to Kent Swanson because I like to get his opinions on my picks, because certainly I get my opinions on their picks, which is fun. It's part of the fun of mocking the draft. And I got one comment, Chris, when I put out 1.0, someone asking me if this really happened. No, the draft has not happened yet. The word mock means it's my opinion on what could happen. That's what mocks are for. It's not. There's nothing factually based about this.
There are differences to people's knowledge of sports.
The one thing I like,
the sports fandom, so I understand where you're coming from.
The one thing I like about mock drafts, there's arguments about everything. You never. I've rarely seen anybody eye to eye. Now, Kent and I were about as close to it as you could get, but even with you, obviously you're a Florida Gators fan, and I had a Florida Gator in my with P. Ryan Lykel.
Yeah,
P.
you
Ryan.
Did. You were like, "Oh, you're gonna like this, Chris."
And I was like, "I didn't like it." And you gave me your opinion on it, which I appreciate. You should give me your opinion on things that you like or don't like. But I took my second rounder because I was hell bent on linebacker, corner, wide receiver, and then lineman, running back. Not necessarily in that order. But I fluctuate. To me, a corner is a necessity. Losing Fuller, Breland, that's a necessity for the Chiefs. In finding, and here's the one thing, too. A lot of these guys, you know, are projects. And understanding the game in the NFL is different. Although I will say this, Chris, even coming from the SEC, these guys see pro offenses. Like, you did not see a more pro offense than the one LSU and Ed Orgeron was running with Joe Burrow. I mean, throwing 60 touchdowns at an SEC school, these are like the days of Cole Brennan at Hawaii. This is like Tim Brittain at Louisiana Tech. This is just airing it out and spreading it around. I'm not kidding, though.
I can't believe that. Was it Kramer that said that?
He threw a lot of touchdowns. I'll give you that. But that Hawaii offense was fun to watch, but they weren't playing anybody.
Yeah, they were playing nobody. Was it Mountain West?
But Burrow did this in the SEC, man, which is insane because it's littered with corners in the first and second rounds, man. Especially when you play Bama. I mean, it's like an NFL team you're playing against. But I went wide corner as well. And again, I think corners now are more adapt to the NFL game, you agree, than they've ever been, just because the pro game copies off college so much. It's more now than it's ever been.
I think there's a lot of teams that are starting to just run more zone now, which I think is easier for a lot of these corners to keep up with. They're mixing things up. Like, if you see, like, the top defensive teams now, they're not simply just running man-to-man all the time. They're mixing up. Like, you saw, like, the 49ers this year ran a lot of cover three.
And
that was one of the things, like, the Legion of Boom back in the day.
And it worked for three and a half quarters.
Oh, yeah, it did. It was great for three and a half quarters, and then they figured it out. But, like, you even saw that with the Legion of Boom. They were a heavy cover three team. And so a lot of these teams now are running more zone concepts. Like, not a whole lot of teams are good enough to play, like, cover two and be able to do it all the time. But, like, a lot of teams are doing cover three to shut down deep passes. and it's not as difficult for guys to adjust to that compared to having to play like a man-heavy system. So I actually think that the learning curve for corners isn't as deep as it used to be because teams aren't running man coverage as often as they used to.
College coaches used to go to clinics and everything. They would copy off the pros a lot. But more and more we've seen the pro game copy off the college game. As a matter of fact, in that Saban and Belichick documentary where they met together, Belichick admitted he used several things that Nick Saban ran at Alabama. Cliff Kingsbury got a job in the NFL because of what he did in college. Here's the deal, Chris. Kyler Murray's of the world aren't drafted number one overall 10 years ago. They're just not.
No, Mahomes is not a first-round pick 10 years ago.
No, because he ran a spread, and it's the offense, the air raid, and everything else. Guys like that, I remember when Sam Bradford went to the NFL, and people really wondered how he would adapt to the NFL game. Once you're lining up under center, then the shotgun, but the shotgun's so prevalent now in the NFL that even the pistol, which was done extensively in college, that's why Andy Reid brought in Chris Ault for the first couple of years to help him with the pistol game because they ran that in Division II. Pittsburgh State ran it with Steve Rampe all the time too. But there's more and more college game. Heck, I remember Gary Patterson a couple of years. I was reading the Dallas paper. They were playing Thursday night against Texas Tech when Kingsbury was there. Mahomes was already here in Kansas City. They were watching Kansas City Chiefs film to get ready for Texas Tech. There's just more and more of the college game in the NFL, and I feel that corners are more used to what they're going to see in the NFL now than they ever have been. But Noah Igbinoghene. I mean, it's a tough name. Even the announcers have trouble saying Noah's name. I'm just going to call him Noah.
Yeah, we'll just call him Noah.
I moved Noah up to the first round. By the way, two career touchdowns as a kick returner as well. Had one in the bowl game as well this past year. But I like him for returnability and playing the corner. The second round, though, I went linebacker, but it's different. Because I just look at a couple guys, like Patrick Queen, Kenneth Murray, and Zach Bond, to me, are first-round guys. And I had Zach Bond in the first round last time. I went corner this time. Malik Harrison was a linebacker at Ohio State. Now, he's your typical linebacker, the size that linebackers used to be. When you're thinking about inside linebackers, you were thinking of 6'3", 247. That's what he is. But he's tough, physical. He is your two-down linebacker in Malik Harrison. He's a run stuffer. And you want to get good against the run? If the Chiefs are wanting to go that direction, this is why I went this direction with Malik Harrison in the second round. First team all Big Ten, 16.5 tackles for loss. Third round, I stayed with my method at wide receiver, Bryan Edwards, 6'3". Very physical wide receiver at South Carolina. I went Michael Pittman last time out of USC because I wanted that big physical presence. Because, again, Chiefs don't have anybody over 6'1 at wide receiver. And when you get down to 6'1, you're talking about guys like Byron Pringle. Again, unproven guys. The only proven guys are under 6 foot in Tyreek Hill and Mecole Hardman. Very important to an offense to have the speed guys to spread the defenses out. I mean, Hardman and Tyreek Hill tied for the most touchdowns over 40 yards this year. They have that element, but if Sammy Watkins doesn't come back and doesn't look like he is, you're missing that tough physical presence that Sammy Watkins was. And I'll contend that I've compared him to Hines Ward at times because of his blocking, even though he didn't have you can't really do the stuff that Hines Ward's doing now in today's NFL. But he played physical. And Stephon Gilmore for the Patriots, that's who we covered the whole game. Even got the tussle with Sammy Watkins. But Watkins was very physical. Even when he wasn't putting the numbers up that you'd expect sometimes out of a number one wide receiver at the time when Tyreek Hill was hurt and he showed up in the postseason to a tune of 5 catches, almost 93 yards a game. But the physical play, especially if you're going to be finding that cover 3 defenses that you have, that zone beater underneath, the tough physical guys, good in the running game or whatever, that's why I went at the 6'3 wide receiver, and it's going to be plentiful at the wide receiver position where the Chiefs could even trade down. Zach Moss in the fourth round. He's from Utah. Zach Moss is a stud. The game they lost early in the season at USC is when he got hurt for a while, was out of the game. But 6 yards a carry his last 2 years. Played the big-time Power 5 conference in the Pac-12. But he can catch the ball as well, and I like that because that's what Andy Reid wants. He wants you to block. He wants you to catch and, of course, run. And, of course, they're faster than Darrell Williams. And Darrell Williams, an undrafted guy, has been on this roster 2 years, was hurt this year, went to IR. But he's definitely – Andy Reid trusts Darrell Williams, and he was really elevating himself on the playing field for the Chiefs. So I think Zach Moss, in a lot of ways, is a better version of Darrell Williams, and he could be a devastating blocker as well because he's extremely physical and the Chiefs led the NFL in third down conversions last year at 48%. Just a guy that can run between the tackles. So that's why I went there. And then the fifth round, that's where I use for linemen because you got to get linemen. Simon Stepanek, he's a guard from Indiana, tore his ACL at the Gator Bowl, should be back. He put up 37 bench press reps, dude strong. I like guys like that. He starts most of the time at right guard, can play left guard. And these guys can also play center too. They don't, but that's what the Chiefs do. They take guys that played guard, they make them centers, and you never know which direction you're going. With Austin Ryder, does LDT end up getting moved this year? So that's my mock draft. 913-576-7610 if you have reaction, or the Smitty's Garage Burgers Number text line, 69306. Any objections to you in my mock? Anybody in there that you just don't like? Like Pirine?
I think they're going to address the corner position with Chris Harris. I think they're going to get him. So I am not 100% sure.
I disagree with that. He's 31 years old and is going to command a lot of money. They don't have a lot of money to throw at guys like that.
I mean, if they get rid of Sammy or at least restructure, I think they could probably work around that.
Then you're discarding even attempting to pay Chris Jones.
I think they might. I think they might find a way to do it. They might not. Who knows? But I do think. I think he really wants to be here, and I think they really want to find a way to have him here. So, I think they'll try to find a way to get him here. But I don't know if they need to take one in the first round. I think my big thing is I'm not a big fan of the South Carolina receiver. I don't think they need a big, tall receiver. And the reason why I don't is because they already have one, and his name is Travis Kelce, and they line him up as a receiver all the time. And so I don't know how important it is to have another one of those
guys.
That's
your philosophy, but zone busters. And again, but the Niners ran that zone. And Kelce's got 200 catches the last 2 years. I mean, that is he led the AFC in receiving yardage. That's, for all intents and purposes, a wide receiver.
Yeah, and we
plays tight end.
Yeah, I mean, he was a top five receiver this year. And on top of that, one of the things that we see with the Chiefs is that they kind of prefer a type of, like, as much as we like to say, like, Sammy's a big dude, Sammy's a speed guy. That's what he's about, is his speed and athleticism. He's not really a big receiver in the sense of you're going to throw the ball up and then have him catch on a fade route. He's not one of those guys you're going to throw a 50-50 ball to all the time and have him go up and get it. He's one of those guys, he's more of a speed guy. He's more of a catcher wide receiver screen and take it out the backfield. He's one of those guys you're going to have do reverses every now and then, though they kind of gave that role to McColl during this 2019 season, as opposed to 2018, where that Sammy was that guy. They use him more like a speed receiver than a physical receiver that you would see from maybe a Terrell Owens or a guy like that. Andy doesn't really prioritize size like that, except from his tight ends. So I don't know if he really fits there. And then for Zach Moss.
Textline wants some Chase Claypool. I get that. He's big, physical, fast.
My issue with Zach Moss, 4.740. And I really think they value
4.65.
It's 4.65, 4.6. It's not.
Give him some love, man.
It's not good enough. This team values speed. And they value speed. They value a guy that can go, that can be able to run in open space like that. And yeah, I mean, he's 5'10", but he's got some weight to him. He's like 222.
Yeah, but he averaged 6 yards a carry for 2 straight years. That's game speed.
He played at Utah, though. So it's not like he was playing primo. If he'd have done that in the SEC, I'd be like, okay, I buy into what you're saying.
He could be a devastating blocker, though.
He could be, but if I'm drafting a running back, I want a surefire. I want a guy that I look at as like, that guy's probably going to be a surefire franchise running back. And I still think there's questions about Zach Moss.
Do you want a first rounder?
Yes.
Like Jonathan Taylor, J.K. Dobbins?
I want Taylor a lot. I want Dobbins. If they can get Swift, I want him, though I think he's probably going to be gone in like the early 20s.
I thought so too. He's been mocked more and more to the Chiefs lately.
Yeah, and I've seen a lot of mocks with him, but I've seen some mocks where he goes like 20, in the early 20s, mid 20s, something like that. So he could go earlier. I really want Taylor, though. Just Taylor to me just looks like the guy. And I feel like that's the guy you want to invest in.
I think people are tempted to mock running backs to the Chiefs because they look at this team and they think Damien Williams undrafted.
I think people are going to be
Darrell Williams.
I think people are
going
to be a little bit more tempted to mock corners and defensive linemen because of like the situation with Breland and Fuller and with Chris Jones. Like, I've seen a lot of linebackers. I've seen defensive linemen. There's an Auburn defensive lineman that has been mocked to him.
I've seen a lot of running backs lately, man. That's been been the new flavor.
And you're going to see that because I've been, you know, obviously we've seen running backs since the end of the season, but we've also seen other positions. And corner might be the position that's going to be the safe one to pick because of the exodus of two starting corners. So that might be the safe one for them. But at the same time, I think the most impactful move you can make is drafting a running back at 32.
But you know what, though? That ends up helping the Chiefs in the end run.
Yeah.
If people are thinking, well, the Chiefs can get that running back, that's when you can move down with some value.
Oh, yeah.
When people think you're that team. Because I never forget, I don't know if you ever watched that deal with John Schneider on the drafting of Russell Wilson. How much they sweated out getting him in the third round. Because they valued him as a first-round quarterback. But they knew they could get less value in the third round. So, interesting stuff there. Chris Jones, is there a team out there that wants him in the NFC? And they're certainly talking about it. We'll talk about that next.
Bink at Night.
Welcome back to Bink at Night. Jay Binkley with Chris and Osero. Speaking of Royals baseball, like the voice lady said, how about April 3rd? Noon to 1:30, the Royals panel, Joel Goldberg, Josh Vernier, Jeff Flanagan will have a Royals discussion about all things within the minor leagues, the direction of the Kansas City Royals, Mike Matheny, you name it. You can go for just $20, get you a free drink plus appetizers, and tickets are limited now. Go to 610sports.com to get details on that. Also, Vern has a new podcast out on the 435 Podcast Network. Sits down with Ian Kennedy, his life in baseball, and then last season. So the interesting Ian Kennedy, who I feel, to be honest with you, is going to be the first Royal traded this year. Hear the conversation on the 435 Podcast Network with one Josh Vernier. Chris Jones, now he's getting a tag from the Kansas City Chiefs. Where does he end up? People have weighed in on this, and it's real hot and heavy in the Arizona market. Now, people around here, they want Chris Jones back. Chris Jones is a fan favorite. Chris Jones is a Super Bowl champion. And people want him to come back. People want the Chiefs to put the highest contract that they've ever done and the league's ever seen in Pat Mahomes and turn around and give the biggest defensive contract ever seen, the one Chris Jones. Arizona Central Online has it listed all what people are saying. SB Nation writes that the Cardinals among five potential trade partners with the Chiefs. It wrote an NFC team. Arizona has $39 million available. The Cardinals' motivation factor might not be strong, depending on how you look at it. It might consider this a 3-4. In his second year, coaching, building, rebuilding team, Cliff Kingsbury probably still has a long leash. Take a flyer on Chris Jones. Bleacher Report listed the Cardinals as a realistic landing spot for Chris Jones. Said another potential tag and trade destination is the Arizona Cardinals. Though not yet an NFC contender, Arizona's a young rebuilding team that could use a premier defender like Jones up front. Cardinals ranked 24th in run defense and 31st in pass defense in 2019. Not sure Chris Jones is going to help the Cardinals in run defense. After all, teams had an average over 5 yards a carry when Chris Jones was on the field. 4.3 with him on the field, or off the field, excuse me. So he maybe not a huge difference there. CardsWire writes that Chris Jones should be a priority target for the Cardinals. And who wouldn't want him? But they listed but SB Nation kind of looked at it and five potential landing spots for Chris Jones. They looked at four different criteria. Positional need, cap space, which is extremely important, outside the AFC, and motivation. And they listed the Seahawks meet all four parts of that criteria. Not only that, a team that's not afraid to trade with the Kansas City Chiefs, as they've done plenty in the past. Detroit Lions checked four of those boxes. Cardinals checked four of those boxes. The Panthers chose three of those. And I'm not so sure. I keep hearing the news that Carolina, the Panthers, they're not going to come out and admit it, but people are saying that they could be tanking for one Trevor Lawrence. That'll be the top pick in the draft, the quarterback at Clemson the following year, in the Colts checking three out of four boxes. I don't think the Chiefs do business with the Colts. And especially if the Colts bring in a guy like Phillip Rivers, like just that missing piece. And Chris Ballard, I'm sure, would be interested in Chris Jones. He would have to be. But if I'm the Chiefs, I'm moving to an NFC team like the Cardinals or the Lions because you don't see him as a threat. Like, you, last thing you want to do is send Chris Jones to a place that is missing that one piece, like a Chris Jones. It'd be nice to see him fit right back here in Kansas City. Not sure they're going to be able to make it work with the contracts of one Pat Mahomes and then Chris Jones as well. But I would certainly move him to the NFC. But again, I don't know what kind of negotiating they're going to do. I mean, baseball, they tear you down. You go to arbitration, and Dayton Moore's done that one time because he usually gets the deal done before it, because it's a lot of hurt feelings in arbitration. Because after all, you're coming off a good year. You want more money as a player, and the team tears you down. They talk about stats, situations that you weren't good in, and you hear basically how fat you were in that dress. You know, ladies, you've asked, I'm sure, your husband or boyfriend, and said, hey, do I look good in this dress? And they say, yeah, sure, because they tell you what you want to hear. But in reality, you might not. But they're going to tell you exactly what you don't want to hear. And I don't know if the Chiefs would say, hey, man, you know, you had three tackles in the postseason, Chris. You missed the playoff game. No sacks. Statistically, teams ran better when you were on the field than when you were off of it. You know, I don't know if they're going to use that. I'm sure they're going to use every bit of ammo that they have. Because, again, teams aren't sensitive. You can't be sensitive or you're not going to be good. You've got to be able to move to the next level. And I understood this with the Chiefs because they want a ring. They're not in the ring-chasing mode anymore. It's not just the Chiefs looking at this going, well, we need Chris Jones to get over the hump. We need Chris Jones to get that ring if we're the Kansas City Chiefs. They don't have to think that way anymore because they're wearing the hardware. They have the banner. And I felt that the Chiefs winning the Super Bowl, because I felt this going into the Super Bowl, it changes the whole outlook for the offseason for the Chiefs. Now, it'd be great to see them do some damage in the draft. Got to be good. Five picks at this point. Doesn't mean that's what they're going to end up with. They could trade LDT for a fourth rounder before then. Brett Veach could accumulate more picks, which he might have to do because this is the lifeblood of the Kansas City Chiefs moving forward. Talented players that you're not paying yet. You still have a Super Bowl window that's going to be wide open as long as Pat Mahomes plays here. It's different than other teams to look at and say, well, we got to win. Like the Royals in 15. When they get there in 14, you knew that window was going to close eventually. That Hosmer's going to want to be paid, Moose, you name it, they're going to be gone. They were going to be elsewhere. You need Cueto and Zobrist weren't coming back. You need the win. Dayton Moore gave up five left-handed pitchers, including Sean Manaea, for Cueto and Zobrist. He pushed all his chips in, like we've seen Billy Bean in Oakland do, but he didn't win the ultimate prize. But the windows closed down, and you got to be good in the draft. It's like Mike Mayock and the Oakland Raiders were exceptional last year in the draft. Their problem is they don't have a quarterback, and that could be an issue. We'll discuss the AFC West, and is anybody even close to touching the Kansas City Chiefs? We do that next.
Bank at night.
Welcome back to Big and I, Jay Binkley, with Chris Uno Cero. Big 12 tournament's coming this week in Kansas City. I have a couple thoughts on that coming up here about 7:45. When I mentioned the AFC West, who is the biggest challenger to the Chiefs? Now, I spent most of the year saying it was the Raiders because I looked at the draft class, and how could you not think so? I mean,
you love that Raiders draft class from last year. Love it.
But it was historically great.
It was really good. It was really
most
good.
Most rushing yards, most receiving yards, most yards from scrimmage, most sacks by a rookie class ever. I mean, they did well. That's without Jonathan Abram playing. Mike Mayock put his money where his mouth is, and he did a good job. I will say this. I have thought that Mike Mayock had a built-in advantage over everybody else. Why? Because I thought Mike Mayock was the best guy when it came to evaluating the NFL draft. I always waited for his mock. Do you want to talk about celebrating mocks? He didn't waste your time with 10, 20, 30, 40, 50 like I do. No. He put one out the night before the draft because he talks to GMs. He knows their tendencies. He knows their direction they're going. Guarantee you GMs aren't talking to him now. Not only that, Chris, I wonder how many GMs had some nice little sit-down conversations with Mayock over a stogie and some wine or some beer talking about draft philosophy. Never thinking in a million years you're going to be competing against him next. He was just a dude in the media that loves football. He had a lot of information about draft picks, and I guarantee you there was GMs that picked his brain back when he could select. But how many people regretted talking to him now that he's kicking their ass? But the thing they don't have is the quarterback.
The Raiders aren't kicking their ass.
No, they're not.
But he's doing a good – he did a good job this year, and last year in the draft.
But look at all the first-round picks they're accumulating. They got two this year as well. The problem is – and it's a big problem. It is a Grand Canyon-sized problem. They don't have a quarterback. They do, but they don't. They've got a fragile quarterback. Derek Carr's walking on pins and needles. He's a China doll because of the whole Tom Brady flirtation. When half the people want him and people in your clubhouse locker room are going, whoa, let's get old Tommy in here. And Derek's like, what about me? If you're a quarterback, we talk all the time about winning locker rooms like managers. If you're a quarterback, you got to win that locker room.
Yeah.
We talk about Mahomes all the time mm-hmm. and how he became a great pro. Say what you want, but he learned a ton from his dad. When he learned a ton from being around Major League, that stuff helped him. Like if you were ever going to write a book on the development of Patrick Mahomes, you got to think about what his dad did. Just being around clubhouses, talking to Jeter and A-Rod. And Mahomes even mentioned that on the shop. Seeing how hard those guys worked, even though they're at the top of their profession. Seeing how hard they worked to stay on top of the mountain. That stuff's important, but they don't have a quarterback. And I heard from people because the Raiders were – I was like, no, no, no. Because I got the tweets and everything. And I was like, no. I'm not calling them ready for primetime yet. I'm saying they have what's necessary. They're moving to a new facility. They have a great draft class, which is the lifeblood of your team. But talent-wise, I have to go Denver. Because Denver's going to grab one of these primetime receivers, and they're going to match him with Cortland Sutton. And then you got Noah Fant that I think is going to be becoming one of the best tight ends in the NFL. Good running game. The defense is something to be desired. This isn't the defense with Chris Harris and Aqib Talib and T.J. Ward and DeMarcus Ware. Von Miller's getting up there in age. Chargers, to me, have the next best defense. Well, statistically, they had a better defense than anybody in the AFC West. And that was carrying them for the most of the year when Phillip was throwing those interceptions. But Anthony Lynn, what's he want? Because he talked about the Rivers just didn't fit in what he wants. They're going to go Tyrod Taylor. Like, all that talk about Brady going to the Chargers cracks me up because go for it. That's the same thing as Phillip Rivers. And I feel like the Chiefs prolong Tom Brady and that dynasty in New England. I want to say Denver, but it's hard to with Vic Fangio as head coach. When everybody went offensive minds, they went defensive minds. They zagged when everybody zagged, and they bring in Vic Fangio.
I think Vic Fangio is going to be gone before we really get to see what Drew Lock can do.
And I'm with you. There's nothing against Vic Fangio. Matter of fact, he's a pleasant listen. I like to listen to it because I listen to all those press conferences. I enjoy Vic Fangio. But what I didn't like is some of the comments. Because he's pretty cocky.
Yeah, he is. Well, I mean, he has no reason to be because he got a job. He got his first head coaching job at 63.
Yeah.
He's older than Andy Reid, and he was older than Andy Reid before he got his first head coaching job.
He
should be the humblest coach in the NFL.
He's got one of 32 jobs in the NFL, and he's pretty damn proud of that. And he made some comments about Drew in the beginning because he's old school, man. It's about earning your stripes. It's not about the tailoring of quarterbacks, the babying of quarterbacks, getting him ready to play. Because he made some comments about Drew Lock. The reason I pay attention to it because I Drew Lock's a local kid.
You'd love Drew Lock.
Like his dad, like his family.
I was like, man,
don't talk about him like that.
You love Drew Lock, dude.
Talk about it preseason. Talk about it. I don't like where he's at, though. I wish that he was in the NFC, to be honest with you.
Yeah, because you could root for him.
I wish he was with Cliff Kingsbury, to be honest with you. Because I think Kingsbury's going to turn Kyler Murray around. Now, can Kingsbury have a defense? Because he never did at Texas Tech. Great offensive mind, but he couldn't hire a defensive coordinator. But I want to say Denver, but I think the replacement for Fangio might have that team up and rolling because they have guys, young guys, not making money yet. Their window's still open. Chargers and Raiders, they don't have a quarterback to me. I think Denver does. Like, Drew Lock is the best thing they've trotted out there since Peyton Manning.
I like Drew Lock. I don't know if he's going to be, like, one of the elites. Like, maybe he's that tier two type quarterback, that Phillip Rivers type quarterback that doesn't quite it. Maybe he's just, like, in the wrong era because he has to go against Patrick Mahomes twice a year. But I think that he is – he's probably – like, the Broncos are probably the best threat there, mainly just because I think that the Raiders are probably going to try to invest in Derek Carr long term. Something tells me that John Gruden's going to be like, I think I can fix this kid. And I think he's going to try to invest in him. And I think John Gruden is probably a little bit past his prime as far as like where his system is and the kind of football he wants to play, because he wants to play the football from the late 90s, early 2000s, where they run the West Coast and they run the football and they throw a lot of short passes.
Let me tell you about this guy.
Yeah. Like, he likes that kind of football. And I don't think he can adapt to today's NFL and be able to consistently win in this league. So I'm not really sold on him. And the Chargers, I think they're going to be a mess in a year or two, because I don't think they're going to get their quarterback situation figured out. Something tells me that if they don't get Tom Brady, they'll be perfectly okay with trotting out Tyrod Taylor
or
some other, like a Marcus Mariota type quarterback, and seeing what they do with him.
Nobody likes them.
No.
Everybody went to their games.
No.
They played in a soccer stadium that was filled with other fan bases, and they were tired of it. They hated it. They always felt like they were on the road. You know where they get their best reception is? Mexico City.
Yeah.
They showed up like rock stars there. Nobody else likes
them.
Because
they used
Chargers.
To play in San Diego.
They're
just practically in Mexico.
And I always call, I say they're renting the apartment above the garage at the parents' house. That's what they're doing. Because that's Kroenke's joint, SoFi Stadium. They're paying rent.
Yeah, they're crashing at their friend's place.
Like, to me, nobody else has a quarterback. You can say Drew, but I don't like the combination with Vic Fangio.
Fangio's going to get fired in 2 years. Within the next 2 years, yeah. He's going to get fired.
And I think the direction they go then is an offensive mind, because that's typically what happens. People go defense, then the offense, and vice versa. That's what they do. It's always the opposite in the NFL. It's typically the opposite. But I like this as far as the AFC is concerned. I love Deshaun Watson, what he can do, but I don't like Bill O'Brien with him. Yeah. That's what's holding him back.
I think so, too.
You want to talk about like holding Michael Jordan back from 30 a game? Head coach in college, North Carolina, Dean Smith. You're talking, what's holding Deshaun Watson back is Bill O'Brien. They had a 24-point lead in the playoffs, and they couldn't win it because he's an idiot.
Not only did they retain him, they promoted him.
He's like running this whole thing, man, GM everything.
He's the GM now. He promoted him, and like you could be the head coach and the GM.
He might be the only thing bigger than the Astros banging trash cans as far as a failure is Bill O'Brien.
It's more egregious that the Houston Texans promoted Bill O'Brien than it was that the Astros were cheating in baseball. It is way more egregious.
I like Harbaugh with Lamar Jackson. I think that is the next best combination. Yeah. And keep in mind, Harbaugh's lifeblood. He was Andy Reid's special teams coach back when teams were kind of hiring special teams coaches in Philadelphia. The one I threw out there, and I have no idea how he's going to pan out, is when we were talking about coach-quarterback combinations. Keep in mind, this may never materialize. Maybe you will. I went to Cincinnati Bengals. Zach Taylor with Joe Burrow. Not this year, but going forward in the future. He was the offensive coordinator for the Rams when he was the quarterback's coach for Goff, when Goff had a good year. Goff regressed without Zach Taylor.
Yeah.
He regressed.
Is that really what it was, though, or was it because of Todd Gurley? Is it really because of not having?
I don't know, man.
Or because it was Todd Gurley? Because Todd Gurley didn't look like Todd Gurley last year. I don't know if it's completely on Zach Taylor being gone.
All I know is Taylor's a young cat. He's 36 years old.
Yeah, but to me, it's like with the arthritis in the knees for Todd Gurley, I think it might be more Todd Gurley than it is Zach Taylor.
But it's Zach Taylor and Joe Burrow. I mean, we're looking at the AFC. I'm looking for
great
quarterback coach.
I mean, McVay is the one that's calling plays there, right?
I told you I don't like O'Brien and Watson. I definitely don't like Locke and Fangio.
Yeah.
I like Lamar Jackson and Harbaugh by default. Mahomes and Reed so far ahead of everybody. Who's that next? I mean, I'm just thinking Joe Burrow is the best quarterback in this draft class. Now, Zach Taylor by default, but he is a quarterback coach. This is Mike Kafka that got his chance to be a head coach already in Zach Taylor.
Yeah, I don't know if
like, but or did he ride Sean McVay's coattails like everybody else did?
I think it could be a good chance that he's probably riding his coattails. I think there's a good chance
just because he's got some coattail riders.
Oh yeah,
remember last year he was a genius. Remember, boy genius.
Yeah,
wasn't this year, but the year before he's a genius.
I mean, we say because it's like that with a lot of the coaches that Bill Belichick has. They're coattail riders. Like they look good in the positions that they're in, and then they go somewhere else and they look terrible. You know?
Like, it's like Dave Beatty was a Johnny Manziel coattail rider.
Yeah, you know, like we've seen this with so many of the coaches that have gone on and left the coaching tree of Bill Belichick, and you could tell, yeah, these guys didn't really learn a whole lot. And I wonder about Taylor and Burrow. And part of me kind of feels like Burrow kind of rode the coattails of the talent that he had at LSU too. So I kind of feel like the Cincinnati Bengals might be a team of coattail riders.
Text lines 913 says Drew is another Blaine Gabbert. The only thing
he's only saying that because he played at Mizzou.
They went to Mizzou. They're nothing alike.
No, they're not the same quarterback.
Drew is a hell of a lot tougher than Blaine.
Yeah,
Drew will stay in there and take a hit.
Blaine was an awful first.
Not only that, I never heard the things come out of the locker room like Drew Locke in Denver. Like a lot of Mahomesian type guys rallying around him, like Von Miller was sold. Chris, all these guys are sold on Drew Locke. That's one of the toughest things to do is get those guys to buy in. They did in Denver. I'll give Drew all the credit for that.
Well, they have to because that's their guy. They know that's their guy, and they know they're going to have to face Mahomes twice a year.
They don't have to because I never heard this about Matt Castle.
Because Matt Castle was clearly not the answer.
And no one cried when Todd Haley got ran either. Like nobody was. Oh man, this guy.
Todd Haley got a. He inherited a terrible position because he had to coach Matt Castle and he hated him. Mm. I don't know why the hate, so much hatred for that guy. He got a lot of flack, and it really was more on Pioli and Castle than it was on him. Even if he wasn't very likable as a coach,
he and Pioli didn't like each other very much.
No, they didn't.
Coming up next, the Big 12 tournament this week. If a tree falls in the woods, did it actually fall? We talk about that next.
Big at night.
Welcome back to Big Night, Jay Binkley, Chris and Osero. It's a good point we were talking about. Your pizza delivery guy. Because if you're quarantined and you order pizza, shouldn't you tell the guy, the driver, what's going on?
The government should just put like a hazmat
before
symbol on the door.
He stands there and asks you to sign something, and you breathe all over the pizza guy.
They should leave. If you're forced to be self-quarantined, they should put like a hazmat sign on your door. So that the delivery people know, okay, we know. Or they should have like government people deliver you food so you can cook on your own, and that way you don't have to worry about having to be in human contact. They just like deliver it to your front door, and you can go out there and you can get it and go back inside. That's what they should do. Just have like government people be involved in that.
I don't know.
They're like, you can't order Pizza Hut or any of these other fast food places. You have to. We'll go to Walmart or wherever. We'll do your shopping for you, and we'll take it over to your crib, and you can do your cooking or your eating there.
Well, the latest news of the day is what MLS is. Are they part of this too now? The no
MLS,
locker rooms.
MLS, Major League Baseball. NHL and the NBA all put out a joint statement saying they will not allow anyone in locker rooms except for players and essential personnel.
Understand completely.
Which means the media are not going to be involved in there. Ain't no fans, ain't no wives, kids, none of that. Just players and essential personnel will be the only ones allowed in locker rooms until this whole virus situation gets under control.
14-15 Royals wouldn't have liked that because they all had kids rolling around.
Oh, yeah, they did. They had their wives
and
their
girlfriends. Vargas had a bunch of kids.
Yeah, like Alex Gordon would have his kids running around in there, and a lot of the players would have their kids in there, or their girlfriends would go in and out, and you know, Salvi would be kicking soccer balls around in the locker room there. Yeah, no, it was free and loose there, but yeah, they're definitely not going to allow a bunch of people in there now because, frankly, it's a dangerous situation. They shouldn't be allowing people in there like that.
So the Big 12 tournament, and I'm curious about that too, because college sports are different where. You don't go into the locker room and interview players like you do in the pros. What they do, like K-State, for example, they'll bring them out. Missouri, same way. In Kansas, same way. They bring the players out, and then they walk around. You know what I'm saying? You don't go into the locker room with college kids. I actually like that method better, to be honest with you, how colleges do it instead of pros. So I'm just kind of curious which direction they're going to go with the Big 12 tournament this weekend. Because the Big 12 tournament is college basketball is like that. Anyway, it'll check football. But the Big 12 tournament's different, Chris. the media goes into the locker rooms. So I am curious how they're going to be doing.
Do they go into the locker rooms? Usually they, when every time.
The Big 12, they do.
Okay, because every time Mike, and I haven't been to the Big 12 tournament. But
I don't go to college basketball games, but I've been to the Big 12. Yeah. Like, I'll go to that.
Yeah, every time I've had an experience there, they wouldn't let us go in. For when I was doing the beat for KU here, we didn't go in. They would usually have us in a conference room, and they would get like two or three players to come out there, and they'd do their little interviews after Bill Self would do it. And like usually when it was at KU, they would just kind of be spread out and doing their own thing. But then at the, you know, like at the big ones at the Sprint Center, they would just have a table there, and you could just ask whoever whatever question you had. But and maybe that's what they do here, is they'll just do that same setup where they just have two, three players at the, you know, at the, you know, at the table there, and they'll be asked questions there. I don't think it's a good idea to have media in the locker room.
Well, we all know the NCAA screws up a lot of things, so I'm curious.
Yeah, they're a terrible organization.
Are they going to be smarter than Major League Baseball, the MLS, the NBA, the NHL? We'll see. We'll see. We'll see this weekend. But it's more than just that. It's the whole tournament in Kansas City. I remember when this tournament would literally be the heartbeat of this town. It would.
Yeah.
It would be when you get off the airport and the plane. Which traveling now is much different, so obviously, with this virus, it's much different. But it would be front page news. And I'll never forget, I used to go to Dallas once in a while for work. And I remember Big 12 tournament would be like in the eighth page. You know, because everybody be talking about, at the time, Dirk and the Dallas Mavericks and the Dallas Stars. That would be, and it would just, but Dallas is so big that it wouldn't be prevalent. And that's why Kansas City was so important, because it was the number one thing in town when the Big 12 tournament was here. But when you're looking at the P&L, and Missouri hasn't been here, and we know that everybody's getting used to them not being here, but I do think it created more buzz for this tournament. I don't see how we could look at it not being. I don't blame them being in the SEC whatsoever, so that's not even what I'm saying. I think it's a good move for them. But with Kansas State being down, like how many Wildcat fans are going to be down there? Kansas, they might tank this thing, giving people off in minutes. We don't know. Because they're pretty much locked into the number one overall. We don't know how this, again, this means nothing to them. What means everything to them is Sunday night. And really, that is the story. It's going to be when the brackets come out.
Something but, might tell me that that Bill Self might just be like, he wants to like send a message to the rest of college basketball that, hey, we're Kansas. We should be number one overall. We should be considered the best. Because I think if they lose, some people try to use that as fodder against them.
They would be better off losing in the first round than losing two out of three to Baylor.
But
to be honest.
And I agree with that. But I think for them, they might just look at it and be like, it's a pride issue. And the KU fans for sure are going to add. It's going to be a pride thing for them. They're going to want to win. And then if KU loses, they'll be like, oh, well, it's better for them anyways. But I think it's a pride issue. And that's the reason why I don't think they're going to do it.
Well, the Big 12 tournament, look at it this way. Kansas 17-1 in the conference. Baylor 15-3. After that, a whole bunch of mediocrity. Oklahoma, Texas, Texas Tech, and West Virginia, all 9-9. Now, the ones that boost our economy, the ones that stay in our hotels, rent our cars, drink our booze, eat our food, is the Iowa State Cyclone fans. They are the Big 12 tournament, in my opinion. Not only that, I've been down to KU-Iowa State games before when Iowa State actually had more fans than KU at Sprint Center, which is nearly impossible to do. They've done it. They're great fans in Ames, Iowa. But they got the game in Florida over Kansas State. Kansas State had to go to Liberty Bowl. They wanted to go to Florida. Kansas State hadn't been to Florida for a bowl game. This is going to be big for them. Iowa State fans went down there, and that's why they got selected for that game, because people were willing to travel for that team and Matt Campbell and see what direction that team's going. How much disposable income did Iowa State fans spend on going to Florida for the bowl game and look at their team being 12-19 saying, we're not going to Kansas City? And then you add in this coronavirus. Like, you have to add that in. Do we really want to go to Kansas City, stay in a hotel room that other people have stayed in, go to Sprint Center that's going to be around a lot of other people with a 12-19 basketball team? And not only that, they're not very good. Matter of fact, they got beat by Kansas State. I mean, rolled by them the last game of the year, snapping a 10-game losing streak by Kansas State. Kansas State's 10th, 3-15 down here. I'm curious how the Big 12 tournament's going to be. And I'll say this. I think the Big 12 has problems. Kansas has won the Big 12 15 out of 16 years. That's a problem. The problem is these kids on the street, these 16-year-olds that are getting their driver's license, 15 of the 16 years of their existence, Kansas are the regular season champions in basketball. Football's not much different. Since they brought back the Big 12 championship game in 17, Oklahoma's won it every time. Oklahoma's won the regular season the last 5 years in the Big 12. The Big 12 is essentially two teams. It's Kansas basketball and Oklahoma football. And I think Oklahoma's got a better all-around program when you add basketball in. It's not great, but it's much better than what Kansas football is. But it's a two-team race. Somebody else needs to win. You talk about parity? It's big-time parity in the Big 12. But I just think I'm curious how it's going to go this week. And Bob Bowlesby thinks the Big 12's fine. He's talked to other commissioners and not thinking about expansion, which is keeping your head in the sand. Because this thing is going to blow up again. With the new TV contracts in 2023-24, you better have a plan going forward. And don't be so sure other commissioners have stolen your lunch money. They've taken Colorado. They've taken Nebraska. They've taken Missouri. They've taken Texas A&M while you sit there and watch. They had a chance to expand, and they haven't. Now, Andy Staples had a great idea to start poaching the Pac-12 because they're not happy out there. But I digress. Curious how Bob Bowlesby runs this tournament in Kansas City this weekend. Coming up next, readdress what Pat Mahomes had to say, which it was the Pat Mahomes Barbershop, The Shop on HBO. Next.
Bing at Night. All right, football fans, the NFL draft is almost here, and the free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. A-U-D-A-C-Y. Download it today.